We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Sooner Sports Podcast, presented by Riverwind and Allstate. Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
All right, welcome into the Sooner Sports Podcast. It's a Monday, so you might say, all right, Plank, so you and Toby did the huddle last week. Why is it just now dropping today? Well, first of all, national championship game tonight. I wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity to preview a little bit of Bama and Ohio State. And still, there's time to look back at the Cotton Bowl. Also, I really wanted to showcase the Legacy Series last week, and I didn't want to kind of just clog up your feed with all of our regular shows. Wanted to give everyone an opportunity to download and listen and hopefully enjoy the Legacy Series. It's something that a lot of hard work goes into it. Hopefully a lot of great memories come back. And I hope you enjoyed it. And I want your feedback. If there's a story you want us to dive deeper into, if there's things you want to have done differently. I know there's a couple people that are jumping on me about classic broadcast. And first of all, just to give you a full disclaimer, the classic broadcasts were started during the summer, and they were kind of as a way to bridge the gap in the spring between, you know, not having sports and getting us back to where sports returned. Also, in just true honesty, there's just not a really good record of them. We went back to 2000, and that's only 20 years ago, and like there wasn't even the full radio broadcast of the Nebraska game. And we couldn't find a full broadcast of the Texas game. And it's not anyone's fault. It's just history happens, and you throw things away or things aren't kept. So the guys out at Learfield IMG College, Eric Nichols, they've grinded hard to help us find it. I've gone through, say, our buddy Michael Dean and trying to dig through the records. So we're still working really hard to bring more content like that to the podcast feed. Just the reality is I'm not trying to keep something from you. It's the reality of what we do and what we don't have. And right now, kind of pre-2000, there's just not a lot of full radio broadcasts that are out there. But I haven't given up. I'm assuming and I'm hoping that the classic broadcast will make a return in some way, shape, or form during our summer months. But in a lot of ways, I give that disclaimer because the Legacy Series gives us an opportunity to really dig deep into storytelling and give you almost a classic broadcast type feel to the podcast. So if you have questions or thoughts, you can always hit us up on Twitter at OU on the air or me personally, plankshow@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. So there's a little housekeeping to get things started. Toby and I sat down and looked back on the Cotton Bowl and got you ready for the national championship game tonight with the huddle. So let's do it. A little football talk on a Monday with the huddle here on the Sooner Sports Podcast.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue on a Thursday night. It is time for the huddle. We got 2 hours of Sooner Sports Talk coming your way. This is not Teddy Lehman. This is Chris Plank. Please welcome Chris Plank, everybody. You heard him on those highlights there off the top as the Sooners handled Florida in the Cotton Bowl 55-20. Football season's over, but it can't handle this show. This show continues for a while. We're going to be talking OU football for the next several months, and we got the huddle coming for the next 60 minutes. And then an hour from now, Lon Kruger and Sherry Cole will be alongside our first basketball edition of Sooner Sports Talk this year. But, Chris, how you doing?
I'm good.
Happy
New
Year.
I'm excited to recap the Cotton Bowl with you, talk about that crazy man calling the highlights in the open. We really missed you, but glad you're back and healthy. It was fun to listen to you on the Baylor game last night with Coach Kruger and Coach Cole coming up. We got hoops to recap, and, man, we still have time to celebrate this Cotton Bowl victory, yeah. A complete and total domination from the Sooners offensively and defensively and in special teams.
Just about a week ago now, let's take a look at the highlights. This was in Arlington, Texas, OU in Florida in the Cotton Bowl Classic down there. And what a start on the opening drive.
Mims got a little separation, and I don't know if I gave that throw enough credit from Spencer Rattler. And look at your boy, Trey Norwood. Trey has since declared for the NFL draft, but holy smokes, what a job he did. Teddy talked about this on the broadcast. That was all film work. He knew what was coming, and he was prepared for it. Speaking of interceptions, now I want to give a big kudos here to all of the people at Sooner Vision, because for some reason I saw the armbands, Toby, and I called that a Buki interception. I apologize to Brian Asamoah post-game, but Asamoah made a great play.
No reason to call yourself out like that.
Yeah, I just feel like if I do, and you guys don't have to. But Woody Washington, holy smokes. How good was this secondary and this defense to start the
first
game?
First three drives for the Heisman finalist, Kyle Trask, all interceptions. That's not him.
That's Surrender Cobra in the first quarter.
Sooners, like you said, shot out of a cannon in this game. Florida would close it to 17-13. You thought we had a tussle, but this was a big sequence here before halftime, Chris.
Yeah, and, you know, this was just two very simple plays that Oklahoma did a great job. Look at Jeremiah Hall blocking downfield. Did a great job of executing. And then, you know, this play right here, Spencer takes another shot at the goal line, but just tumbles right into the end zone. Those two scores at that moment, you went into the halftime locker room and you thought, woo, we're not going anywhere. And then Seth McGown, I'm sure he took some grief in the running back meeting rooms for getting caught from behind. He ran out of gas.
Hadn't got a carry in a while. 73-yard run there sets up another score. They were piling on now. Ramondre Stevenson gets loose in the Gators secondary. What a night he had.
Yeah, and not to give away much of the show.
Look at this run.
I think I said big hole on this run, too, by the way. There was no hole there, and he danced through just about everyone to get into the end zone. I can't wait to talk more about Ramondre. I love this play, too, by Brian Asamoah. This is a fourth down play. You know, the game's very much done, but here's this defense still with a four-score difference, and they're putting that forth for that kind of effort. And, you know, Spencer Rattler, I'm so excited about this dimension of his game, how he can run. And then the final catch for Ball Out Charlie in a Sooner uniform makes a play in the corner of the end zone. Just all around a dominating performance. Should have unhitched the wagon here, by the way, Toby.
Marcus Major stays in bounds, able to weave his way into the end zone. And Oklahoma puts up a double nickel on the Gators. One of the better Gatorade dumps of all time as well. 55-20, the final. The stats are pretty, folks. Let's soak this in for a bit. 684 yards of offense. Look at those rushing numbers for Ramondre and the gang. 435 yards on the ground.
You know, the thing that you don't see here is that the Sooners were their own worst enemy early, too. Yeah, you see three interceptions, but you don't see the two turnovers early. And those two turnovers could have ended up being a massive difference in the game. And what happened? They held Florida to field goals. Those were turnovers in their own territory, Toby, and it really helped open up the door for this offense. Gosh, it still blows my mind that they had 684 yards of total offense.
It was a good night. They paced at the Gators 55-20, Oklahoma in the win column in the Cotton Bowl. So you got a lot of guys to choose from, player of the game-wise. Who'd you go with?
Went with Ramondre. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson, you know, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of rumors about what his future might be. He's going to play on Sundays at some point in his career. But I just thought from the opening bell, he set a tone, not just with, look at that stiff arm. Oh, my gosh. What would you say there, Toby? You sit down.
Get off of me.
The final numbers were a Cotton Bowl record, 186 yards. He had a touchdown, average 10 yards per carry. But I just thought in the way that he ran early, the how he was patient and then attacked the hole when it was there, he set a tone that was, I mean, incredible for this game. In other words, you talk about bringing juice. If you're juiceless, you're useless. Ramondre Stevenson brought the juice, and it wasn't just in the first half. I mean, this is in the third quarter. This is still one of the best runs I think I've ever seen.
That's fantastic.
And he still finds a way to get it done. So Ramondre Stevenson, to me, I mean, you could have picked any of those running backs, but he was the one that really kind of set the tone for me on Wednesday night.
I think you've got to remember to, in hindsight, and we'll get back to that in just a second, because my player of the game was actually Alex Grinch.
I'm going
to the sidelines. Alex Grinch and the defense, I think, verified the season in the Cotton Bowl. You know, that defense got better and better as the year went along. The pass rush became dominant by the end of the year. They started getting all those takeaways that they've been asking for. But you said, yeah, that was the Big 12. Can they do it in a bowl game? Last year, they had a better season defensively. Then they got to the Peach Bowl, and LSU tore them apart. It was very important that they continue the momentum defensively that they had built this season into this game, and they did it. And I know Florida was missing some guys in the wide receiving core, but they still had Kyle Trask in an SEC offense and one of the most explosive offenses in the country this year, and they turned him over on the first three possessions and looked fantastic, and that's what you got now going into next year. You got swagger. You got belief. You got a defense with an attitude that feels like they're really good, and that is priceless to Alex Grinch and Lincoln Riley.
The foundation has been set defensively. The expectation has been set defensively, and that expectation, you know, it's going to be impossible, if not ridiculous, to think of shutouts every single week in this league. But to see what they did in the Cotton Bowl, to see what they did throughout this season, T-Raw, I'm so excited for the defensive future. It's, you know, there's still some questions about guys, right? Sure. There's some guys that have decisions to make over the next couple of weeks. But regardless, you know, you saw David Agwebu and they're making plays. Brian Asamoah. You think about Shane Witter. Yeah. Was playing early in this game and making plays. Guys that haven't played this year. Caleb Kelly's going to be back. Justin Harrington off an injury. The new guys that
both
have come in.
Both of the young corners that played in that game.
Woody Washington.
DJ Graham.
Jade Davis. DJ Graham. All right, we could spend a whole hour on DJ Graham.
Welcome to the DJ Graham Show.
Welcome. And I'm his number one fan right now, because what does he do as a corner? He goes up and he tackles. He's a physical corner. And I'm so excited for this defense's future. And I'm very jealous that you picked Alex Grinch.
Well,
that's a great
pick. I want to circle back and retweet your Ramondre Stevenson pick, because it's easy to forget, because of how good they were in the Cotton Bowl, that the two games prior to that, we were concerned about the running game.
Sure.
They had not run the ball very well at all, and you wondered if they could do it against a SEC front like Florida. Holy cow, did they do it. They did it in a big-time way.
Yep.
Coming up, by the way, next week, we're going to be having a fun show for you here on The Huddle. We'll have our end-of-the-season awards for the Sooners. I don't even know what all of them are yet. Maybe offensive MVP, defensive MVP, but it'll be a fun show. Be sure and join us next week for our end-of-season Sooner awards show. We'll take a break. When we come back, a little deeper dive into the Cotton Bowl offense, defense, drive of the game, that kind of stuff. You're watching The Huddle, brought to you by Bud Light. Welcome back to Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue. It is always football season on The Huddle. Our opening segment tonight is always brought to you by Noble McIntyre at McIntyre Law, the law firm you should turn to for all of your personal injury needs. Oklahoma beats Florida in the Cotton Bowl, the Goodyear Cotton Bowl, 55-20. Let's take a look now at our drive of the game, brought to you by Pike Pass, the fastest, safest, most efficient way to travel. Oklahoma, Kansas, and Texas. Hey, Sooners, don't get past. Get Pike Pass. Chris Plank, our drive of the game is the opening drive of the game, because this is when the Sooners set the tone for this one.
Yeah, this was a little bit of everything. You know, what's wild about it is how quickly they were able to strike. And you saw a couple power runs. There's a quick out to ball out Charlie. offensive line asserting itself. Look at that block by Adrian Ealy. Oh, is he going to be missed? Big time run around the end for Ramondre Stevenson. And then, Toby, that touch that we've come to dig from this redshirt freshman quarterback who had a standout season. Spencer Rattler, a couple more runs here. But in just in the way that he is able to place the ball, I know we talk about it a lot and Teddy kind of makes fun of me for it, but the ball just comes out of his hand differently. I don't know how else to put it. It's impressive.
And he's getting hit.
He's getting hit.
He's got an alligator all over him when he throws that football, and he puts it on a pillow for Marvin Mims. 27-yard touchdown. That is our pike pass drive of the game. You know, one of the special things about this game on Saturday, my man here was on the microphone.
I was.
That first touchdown was pretty fun to watch. If you checked out the In the Booth feed,
we're not
this
showing
year,
this right.
They had a camera on us while we were calling the games all year. So I was home. I opted out of the Cotton Bowl. I got the COVID thing, and it was, you know, I was miserable.
Opted out.
But I was home, and I got to watch In the Booth for the first time. So I got to watch Chris and Teddy call the game. This was fun. Here's the first touchdown.
Oh, my.
Snap to Rattler. Looks deep. Throws deep. Towards the end zone. Mims. He's got it. Touchdown, Oklahoma. Touchdown, Sooners. Marvin Mims. And Oklahoma's on another level to start this game. A 27-yard touchdown strike from Rattler to Mims. And Oklahoma strikes first.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's our man Stats Kelly there in the middle. He's crunching the numbers.
Ted with no emotion whatsoever.
No emotion.
None.
None. Drake Dyken was in the back there, but he's
got
a short.
Fist bump.
You couldn't
see
him.
He was kind of hit
a little bit
underneath things.
We had the good luck monster for our man
Greg Blackwood.
If you watch it again, it was up behind us.
I had your binoculars there, which, again, you should know this. That angle, when you hear Toby call the Big 12 championship games and the bowl games, we've been there. It's not very easy. So whenever he is money on those lines of scrimmage and where the ball is, I don't know how you did it. I called most of the game through binoculars.
It's because you're on the sidelines telling me what yard line the ball is normally. But outstanding job.
It was fun, man.
It was a lot of fun to listen to Chris. Sooners win the game 55-20. Here's what Lincoln and the guys had to say afterwards.
You know, we decided we were going to be a team on a mission, and we said we were going to finish no matter what happened, that we wanted to make a statement with the way that we played, and we didn't want that to be just a part-time statement. And so just encouraging our guys and also making sure that our guys remember, one, the quality opponent on the other sideline, and also the fact that you've only got one quarter left, you know, one quarter left for this team. Some guys one quarter left in their careers, and you'll remember that quarter, so let's make sure we remember it the right way.
You know, we wanted to go out there and prove something, and we got to go against a quality opponent up front, so we were really excited to go out there and prove what we were about. And then, obviously, whenever we have the running backs we have in our rooms, then it makes our jobs easier. So it was a fun game.
To be able to come here and contribute the way I have this season, I mean, it's all to the coaches and to the other players on the team. You know, it's not easy coming in here, you know, as a freshman and trying to, you know, prove a point to other guys. But, I mean, the guys in the receiver room, they help me every day, help me with my routes, help me with understanding the game a lot better. So it's all to my team.
Us players, we put it out there on film, and especially after that Iowa State lost the first time. Ever since then, we've been firing on all cylinders, you know, that's getting takeaways, you know, TFL, sacks, stopping the runs, you know, big things like that. And we've been able to do that against, you know, majority every opponent ever since that game, no matter what conference they play in.
This was a game we wanted to come out here and as Coach Riley said, we wanted to, you know, make this a statement. And as a group, we did that well. And, you know, now going into next year, we could be confident and just play clear-minded, cut it loose, and just play at 110% all the time and execute our job.
Going into the 2021 season off a win, you know, it's a big accomplishment because, you know, we haven't been able to do that for these past three seasons. So that's a lot of momentum pushing in to the next season. And, you know, our defense played outstanding today. You know, we had things we could have did better, but Coach Grinshaw always tells us you're not going to beat our team scoring in threes and with Coach Riley's high-powered offense. And, you know, that showed tonight.
It's hard to explain right now. I mean, it is. It's been a difficult, but at the same time, it's really been a lot of fun, too. I mean, it really has. I mean, all anybody wants to talk about is how tough this year's been, and it has been challenging. But at the same time, man, it's been a blast to see these guys come together, to see the staff come together, and, you know, not say poor us and try to find solutions to anything that came our way and continue to work regardless of what was going on around us. And we've done that. And so I'll remember that. I'll remember how close this team really came together, how close they became during this run, and then certainly being able to close out like we did here the last several weeks makes it all the better.
A soggy Lincoln Riley there after the game. You were down there to interview
he was cold.
Him. Afterwards, you said he was about as happy as you've ever seen him, huh?
Man, I love seeing Lincoln Riley have success. I mean, I think fans of Sooner football realize it from watching this show, from hearing his post-game interviews, from watching his press conferences. He's a great guy, and he's a great football coach. He's a great dad. He's a great person. He's a great husband. It's exciting to see this team's future with him as its leader,
yeah.
And it's exciting to see how happy he gets after a win like that.
Great fisherman. He's probably somewhere.
He's probably fishing right now. Yeah, he's got a little time. Great fisherman from what they all say.
Well, we want to spotlight a few other guys before we put a close to the Cotton Bowl. How about the wide receivers? You saw Marvin Mims there. First time we've had a chance to hear from Marvin this year. Very well spoken. This was a big play when Florida was trying to make their comeback. Theo Weiss on a little crossing pattern able to take it to the house.
Yeah. But T. Weezy? Is that what we're going with?
I like 36 yards.
You know, this has been really fun this year because, you know, and this isn't a knock on anyone, but over the last couple of years, your interviews would be the quarterbacks and then Kenneth Murray and maybe a running back mixed in. This year, we've got a chance to talk to a lot of guys, and Theo Weiss was one of them. Marvin Mims was one of them. Charleston Rambo was one of them. This is a big kick return here that set things up for the Sooners after they held the field goal. But this wide receiver position is so stacked for the future. I mean, and to hear Marvin Mims finally get a chance to talk to him in the post game, he's just going to get bigger and stronger and more durable. He was finally healthy near the end of the season. Think about a Jaden Hazelwood in the slot with Drake Stoops. Think about the guys that are coming in with Theo Weiss, Austin Stogner, 100% healthy. I mean, I am so excited for the weapons that this team will have for Spencer Rattler over the next couple of years. And speaking of Rattler, Toby, how impressed were you with his development and how calm and cool he truly became as this season progressed?
It was an impressive journey that he had this year. You know, he came in with all the hype, the five stars, following on the heels of Kyler and Baker and Jalen Hurts. And he got off to a little bit of a rocky start. He wasn't terrible early on, but he had a couple of bad turnovers and got benched in that Texas game. And, boy, he could have gone south, but he gathered himself that Saturday in the Cotton Bowl Stadium against Texas, finished strong, had a tremendous overtime there, and then the rest of the year played like a pro, man. I mean, he just calm in the pocket, made great decisions, didn't gamble when he didn't have to, but when he was asked to make a big throw, he delivered. I thought he handled himself with a lot of maturity.
The gator chomp.
He handled himself in interviews and gave credit where it was due, so very impressed. Defensively, I know Teddy loves talking about the linebackers, but I think that's another position this year where we saw a lot of development and we saw a lot of depth that was grown.
You know, and I'm always going to talk about the guys that we get to talk to, and you see Brian Asamoah making play after play after play.
Love the black shoes, by the way.
Yeah, and
the tape.
And I'll tell you what, I love his personality. What was it? Lions don't bother themselves with the opinion of sheep was a line he dropped in the postgame show. I have truly become as big of a Brian Asamoah fan as you can find. And he sets the tone. And think about that inside backer position going forward. Brian Asamoah, Shane Witter, David Agwebu, Deshaun White, a Jamal Morris who shifted inside and showed some promise. They've got a couple of new guys coming in. I mean, Brian Odom has it going on right now, Toby, and that inside back room is just going. Look at Agwebu, DU2 making plays.
A couple of plays there from David Agwebu who flashed this year. I think he'll be maybe a more consistent contributor next year. Nick Benito did more than flash this year. He became a star for him.
PFF had him ranked as the top rush in college football this year. Now, again, Pro Football Focus knows more about numbers than I'll ever know about anything in my life. But think about how much better he's going to get with more time with Benny Wiley and more time with Jamar Cain and understanding the responsibilities. I mean, Nick Benito is going to be something pretty special.
Here's the little bit of Witter. You were talking about Shane Witter.
Look at him making plays.
Saw extended playing time in the Cotton Bowl, a true freshman that I know Teddy and the defensive coaches love.
And more than anything, this defense has an attitude. Speed D isn't some slogan. It's not a hashtag. It's not a marketing phrase. It is what they are. They're going to get after you. They're going to force turnovers. And they've completely They've completely changed an entire mindset, T-Row, and it's fun to see.
I thought it was great to see Pat Fields play as well as he did as well. Team-high 7 tackles. He got his first career interception there in the Big 12 championship game late in the season. And, all across the board defensively, but especially there on the back end, we saw significant improvement this year. Delarian Turner-Yell had a fantastic game as well.
Yeah, you know, the safeties quietly had a really good season. And, you know, I think they took it personally, what happened against Iowa State. There was a lot of opportunities on the road in Ames where they could have made plays and either dropped interceptions or couldn't finish it. But they got better as the season went along. And then I get excited about the future of that safety position. You know, Trey Norwood's moving on, but there was a guy named Justin Harrington who looked like a linebacker that was out there all season long after an injury. You've got guys like Bryson Washington, Jeremiah Crudell, who are ready to go. I mean, Speed D is, they're all about takeaways, but my gosh, they're developing some depth right now in that secondary.
They racked them up there. Once a slow start, we were all wondering, you know, where's all the takeaways that Alex Grinch has been preaching about? And then they came flooding in, 3 against Texas, 3 against Tech, 2 against Kansas, 2 against Baylor, 3 in the Big 12 championship game, 3 more all in the first quarter of the Cotton Bowl, and they take a ton of momentum into next year. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, let's talk about the NFL playoffs. Baker Mayfield has done something special. You're watching The Huddle.
The Huddle is brought to you by Rudy's. Bringing you the best in barbecue. Academy Sports and Outdoors, the preferred sporting goods retailer of Sooner Sports. Anheuser-Busch, whenever there's a game to watch, there's a Bud Light there. Sport Clips, it's good to be a guy. Riverwind, still the one.
First 4 years for Lincoln Riley, he has the new standard. 45 wins in 4 years, 2 more than Bob Stoops, 4 more than Barry Switzer. I mean, in different seasons, different numbers of games, you got to factor that in. But what you have to acknowledge is Lincoln Riley is in lofty company right as, there with his start to his coaching career at OU.
As our man Gabe Eichert would say, is that good? Is that good? 45 wins in your first 4 years?
I think you got to get a magnifying glass out to find a guy on that page that is not a Hall of Famer. All right.
Impressive.
I mean, so well done by Lincoln Riley. And one of the staples, the biggest staple of the Lincoln Riley era so far, has been outstanding quarterback play. And that has been on display in the NFL this season. A magical year for Sooners at the next level. Kyler Murray was in the MVP talk early on, Chris. He completes 67% of his passes this year. We'll get back to Baker in a second. Jalen Hurts took over the starting job in Philadelphia, and I think he's going to hang on to it, even though his coach tried to submarine him there.
I was going to say, Jalen Hurts was so good, they took him out of the game so they wouldn't win.
C.D. Lamb, 74 catches, 6 touchdowns, and definitely some highlight plays for the Cowboys this year. Great first year for Kenneth Murray.
Yeah, you know, and I am a huge fan of the NFL, so I watch all these guys every Sunday, as I know you do, and many of you listening right now do as well. But Kenneth Murray did this with the Chargers in a year when Joey Bosa was battling injuries most of the season, and he was thrust into a starting role due to injuries and winning the job at that Mike backer position in the National Football League. CeeDee Lamb was, what, the third receiver that went in the first round after Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy? He put up numbers that dwarfed theirs. And, I mean, obviously, Kyler Murray, if he stays healthy, look out. He's probably in this MVP conversation. So a heck of a season, including 3 rookies that really made a difference for their teams in 2021. Not on this list, guys like Mark Andrews, Sterling Shepard.
Mark Andrews really had an unbelievable
ben
year.
Ben Powers stepped
Hollywood
into the starting
Brown.
Lineup for the Ravens. Hollywood Brown,
Orlando
too.
Brown, Trent Williams went to the Pro Bowl
so
along
good.
With Kyler Murray. So great year for the Sooners. Now let's talk about Baker, because what he has done is historic this year. The Browns are back in the playoffs, folks. I mean, let that rattle around in your brain for a second. It's been since 2002. You think our man Craig Moran had any fun putting this graphic together?
Yeah, you kidding me?
Huge
as a diehard Browns fan, he probably loves this. And here's what impresses me about what Baker has done. It was a whole new regime from the group that drafted him. When he was drafted, you know, it was Hugh Jackson. They had a different general manager. Everyone is different. So he's had to adjust, and he's adjusted what Kevin Stefanski wants as a head
coach. The guy that was eating at the salad bar in West Virginia with his hands.
Why do I keep wanting to say John Dorsey? Is that it?
I think you're close, yeah.
If not, it's close. And
he was the general manager.
And what has he done? And under constant scrutiny, for some reason, you know, you have national media that likes to take shots at Baker because they know he's going to respond. They know he's going to respond. So they'll take the little debate that they can have. But, I mean, are you kidding me? When he came to the Browns, they were 0-16 the previous season. Winning a game 2 years ago was a big deal, and now he's got him in the playoffs? It's incredible.
I just wish he could land a commercial. The poor guy.
If he could just have a spot somewhere.
One,
you know,
interception in the last 9 games, that's remarkable. And he's got the Browns in the playoffs. Now, unfortunately, their head coach has COVID. They got 2 assistants that have COVID. They got a couple of players, including one of his offensive linemen, yep, Antonio, that's got COVID. So they got their work cut out for him going into Pittsburgh on Sunday. Now, you give him a chance?
I give him a chance, but I think it's going to be tough. I don't want to get off on a rant here, so you might reel me back in. But I wish the NFL would step in and maybe give him a couple extra days. I know we're in the playoffs and we're on a tight schedule, but like their coaches, or at least let their coach from home. You know, right, we're in a virtual age, so I think it's going to be tough for them. You know who I do like, though? I do like our boys in Baltimore.
Oh, really? The Ravens?
I kind of like what the Ravens have going right now.
You're
going
to need Lamar Jackson to play better in the playoffs than he has.
Yeah, last year was not good for Lamar Jackson in the playoffs. But with the way, you know, and again, I mentioned it already, but you have 2 Sooners starting on that offensive line. And then you add the tight end with what Mark Andrews has done. Hollywood Brown is playing well. I mean, this is a team that has found kind of another level as they get set for the playoffs.
They're at Tennessee the first game.
Who knocked them out last year.
Yeah, that'll be a good game.
Revenge.
Derrick Henry's doing something. We'll take a timeout. When we come back on the huddle, we'll take a look at the New Year's Day 6 Bowls. And coming up, we're going to give you our picks for who's going to win this year's national championship. It's the huddle brought to you by Bud Light.
We want to thank all of our Sooner Radio Network affiliates across the state and region. Fans can check out Soonersports.com for an affiliate in your area. And if you're traveling outside the state of Oklahoma, you can listen to all the action on either Sirius XM Radio or download the TuneIn app and listen free. OU's football games are available on Exodus 96.5 FM in Oklahoma City and 101.5 FM El Patron in Tulsa, as well as on those stations' websites. Each OU Spanish broadcast will feature a 30-minute pregame show and a 15-minute postgame show. Log on to Soonersports.com/kids for information about joining the Sooner Junior Kids Club presented by OG&E. Brought to you in part by Orthodontics Exclusively.
Hi, everybody. Toby and Chris back with you. We're at Sooner Sports Talk. Excuse me. We're at the huddle at Rudy's Country Store and Barbecue. And it's time for a New Year's 6 Bowl recap brought to you by Kincaid Coach Lines, the official motor coach carrier of OU Athletics. Visit KincaidCoach.com for more information. Let's start down in Atlanta, the Peach Bowl. Georgia taking on the top group of 5 contender this year, Cincinnati. This was a great football game, Chris.
Yeah, it was. I'm preparing y'all now. The postseason into the preseason Georgia hype is going to be off the charts with JT Daniels announcing his return. But, T-Row, I think what I came away from this game knowing was that Cincinnati belonged.
Yeah, they were good.
You know, a lot of times whenever you have these group of 5 v Power 5 matchups, they can get ugly. But the last 2 times with UCF and what they did to Auburn a couple years ago in Cincinnati, you know, it took some poor clock management late by Luke Fickell and then just an absolute nails of a field goal opportunity for Georgia to walk away with this W. It was a really, really fun game.
That was a good game. It looked like Cincinnati had it won, and then their offense just stalled out in the second half. That Georgia defense took over. And
wow.
That was a monster of a field goal. JT Daniels throws for 392 yards, and Georgia wins the Peach Bowl in a thriller. The Orange Bowl was the last of the New Year's Day 6 bowls, Texas A&M and North Carolina. For much of the game here, it looked like old Mac Brown may have gotten his
the Aggies, just like back in the old days, but A&M came on strong in the fourth.
So get to know this name. This is Sam Howell. He's probably going to be talked about a lot in the Heisman conversation, along with Spencer Rattler heading into the season. And you're right, North Carolina, boy, they were representing early on. This was a powerful offense throughout a majority of the season. Look at that arm on Sam Howell. But, you know, give A&M credit. We talked about a lot of times with a group of five teams when they go into these games so they might struggle. Here's Kellen Mond, who is now NFL bound. He declared today for the NFL draft. You know, this was a team that got left out in Texas A&M at the 14 playoff and went out and took care of business.
Did they convince you they should have been in instead of Notre Dame?
No! But I will say this, a team that played in Arlington sure did. That's just me. Yeah. But yeah, impressive when they pulled away late. But, you know, it's easy to say that. I'm sure we'll talk about the Notre Dame game in a bit. But I would have loved to have seen A&M's offensive line go against Alabama's defensive line.
A-chain, 140 yards and two touchdowns. Watching Jimbo on the sidelines call plays, he always looks like a tourist that's lost his way. He's got all these folders, glasses on the end of his nose. This is the Fiesta Bowl, Iowa State. And Oregon and Iowa State caps off a dream season with an impressive performance. They beat the Ducks 34-17.
And the good news continued. A lot of guys coming back for Iowa State next year. Brock Purdy has declared that he's coming back. Look at that. Just enough for Brocktober to get into the end zone. They did everything right. And this was definitely a year to forget. Magnified by that play for the Pac-12. We'll see if they can get things righted for 2021 and play a full season. But, yeah, impressive performance from Breece Hall and the Cyclones pulling away from Oregon in that game.
Breece Hall goes for 136 yards.
Had him on my Heisman ballot.
How did you vote in the Heisman Trophy?
I had Devontae Smith one. I had Breece Hall two on my Heisman ballot.
I got no problem with that at all. He had a fantastic year, that's for sure. Meanwhile, in the national semifinals, we'll start with the Sugar Bowl. What a performance by Justin Fields and the Buckeyes.
Yeah, and early on it looked like they might get run out of the stadium. You know, Trevor Lawrence and Clemson went right down the field, 80 yards in the first play. Look at the future Jacksonville Jaguar find the end zone. But then from that point forward, Toby, I think we know this guy, right?
Trey Sermon.
Preach.
The minister into the end zone.
That was a rough night on social media for a couple of people after Trey Sermon had his night that he did. But, you know, Ohio State just kept coming and coming and blowing away Clemson in this game. I mean, they never gave up on Saturday. Or excuse me, this will be on a Thursday or Friday night, excuse me.
You get there eventually. It's 7 days.
Yeah, I could have gone with any day ending in Y. But I wanted to bring this up. I loved what the broadcast did in constantly looking back and comparing things that happened in last year's Fiesta Bowl to plays that happened this year.
Yeah.
From, you know, the fumble missed call last year to a couple of routes that were broken off. And this year they ended up in big plays like this.
Bam.
So Ohio State, very
Dabo
impressive.
Ranked him number 11 in his final poll. The Buckeyes didn't like that too much. So they,
why would you,
for?
I know your ballot's going to be public, but why would you go die on that hill when that's the team you're playing? I'll never understand.
Not Dabo's brightest moment.
No,
probably.
But impressive. And I can't wait to see this matchup between Mac Jones and Justin Fields on Monday night.
Ohio State into the championship game and they will face Alabama. Roll Tide had no problem with Notre Dame, 31-14.
You know, it's oh, my gosh, Najee Harris, what are you doing? That was one of those moments where you just kind of thought this thing could get ugly, and it did. You know, I kind of felt, though, and Nick Saban is one of the greatest coaches in college football history. There was enough late in that game that Alabama didn't do to where they could nitpick, and some thought maybe they pulled off the accelerator just a little bit. But, man, Alabama – who do you stop? Do you stop Devontae Smith? Okay, well, guess what? Mac Jones can burn you throwing and running the football. Now Jalen Waddle might come back for Monday night's championship game. Najee Harris running like that. How are you going to slow down this defensive line? This is going to be one heck of a battle Monday night between Ohio State and Alabama.
I think Chris might be tipping his hand as to who he's going to pick coming up in the national championship game. Alabama and Ohio State. Well, you add it all up, though, for the Big 12. They go 5-0. Oklahoma wins the Cotton Bowl. We saw Iowa State win the Fiesta Bowl. Oklahoma State able to get by Miami in a very good game in the Cheez-It Bowl down in Orlando. Texas, You got to give Tom Herman credit for one thing. He was very good in bowl games. They won again. They dominated Colorado. And West Virginia won a thriller. Austin Kendall leading them from behind as they beat Army in the Liberty Bowl. So an undefeated bowl season for the Big 12. Does that say anything
sure,
to you?
Absolutely. But then every time you brag about an undefeated season, what ends up happening? Well, it's just a bowl game. It's an exhibition. And there were teams that had players opt out. It's almost like you can't win anymore unless you win a playoff game in the minds of kind of the national media. But to me, you've got to go beat the teams that are in front of you. And the Big 12 did it. And they did it in impressive fashion. And they're, wait, Texas put 50 on the board, right?
Oklahoma 55,
put 50 on the board. But for the most part, these were grinded out games. You know, they had to go out and play. I mean, the Oklahoma State-Miami game was a grinded out game where Miami had two opportunities late and couldn't get it done. So I'm really happy for the Big 12. And I think it's something that you do flex your muscle a little bit and say 5-0 is 5-0. You know, hate all you want, but it's an undefeated bowl season.
I think it's I do think for sure the Big 12 got better defensively.
Absolutely.
This year. And might have been second best conference when you add it all up. The ACC fell flat on its face in bowl season. Ohio State's fantastic out of the Big Ten, but beyond that, they weren't much. And I think this was a year in which the perception of the Big 12 went up a bit. But they do have to win a playoff game.
They do
have to win a national championship before everybody's going to start giving them the respect they want anyway.
Continue to churn out first-round picks. Continue to get quarterbacks leading teams that haven't gone to the playoffs like Baker's done with the Browns. Hopefully Kyler can do it and Jalen can do it and win a playoff game. And then I think the whole narrative changes. It's all cyclical, right? We're not too far away from Clemsoning being a thing.
Right.
Where they can never win a big game. Now look what they've been doing year after year. So I think it's just a matter of time. What did Lincoln Riley say a couple years ago until we're holding one of those skinny trophies? I think it's just a matter of time. But for the Big 12, we need to see this conference get a playoff win, period.
Could be a fun year next year. We'll see. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll tally up the final pick'em totals for the huddle this year.
Big time.
Who won? Did Teddy make a big comeback late? I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. We'll find out together, and we'll make our picks on the national championship game right after this. Welcome back, everybody. Final segment of the huddle. Stick around, though. We've got Lon Kruger and Sherry Cole coming up. Sooner Sports Talk basketball edition and special programming coming your way later tonight. We'll tell you about coming up in just a bit as well. But let's take a look back now on how we did this season in our pick'em segment. Teddy and I have gone head-to-head all year. Oh, man, I closed strong.
Wow.
Look at that. I don't even remember these games. They were so long ago.
Did you go 4-0?
Army beat Air Force. Ohio State beat Northwestern, Alabama. That's not the hardest picks in the world. I think Teddy had to gamble there a little bit to try.
Gotcha.
So the final totals you see there at the bottom, looks like a 5-pick victory for yours truly. And Teddy's
Congrats.
Punishment apparently was to miss the show tonight because of that. So there you go.
Glad he's out. I got to slide in. Teddy takes defeat well, so it's probably better that he's not here.
We got one football game left, though, in the college football season. It's the national championship game on Monday night between Alabama and Ohio State. And our national title preview brought to you by Riverwind. Still the one. Couple of big-time blue bloods going head-to-head. The Crimson Tide and the Buckeyes. They're going to play it down in Miami at the Orange Bowl Hard Rock Stadium down there, which not our favorite stadium to broadcast from. So Eli Gold and Paul Keels, knock yourself out down there.
Have fun with that tiny booth.
I am looking forward to the game. It's going to be fun. And what are your thoughts?
I want to see Justin Fields match what he did against Clemson. You know, that's the thing about Ohio State is that Ryan Day probably doesn't get enough credit for the job that he's done. But I think he's a phenomenal coach. I think that's a well-coached football team. And, you know, Justin Fields, it's funny. I deal a lot in NFL draft talk because I have issues when it comes to the NFL draft, as you have learned.
Yeah,
and it's funny, after the
– you're a draftnik.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. After the Northwestern game, the Big Ten championship game, suddenly it became, what's wrong with Justin Fields? He's not even a top five pick. He can't throw the football. Zach Wilson's going to go in front of him. And then he goes out in the Final Four game, and then it becomes – well, maybe Justin Fields should be a little bit higher on the draft board than Trevor Lawrence in some people's minds. So I want to see him do it again. I hope he's healthy. I mean, that was one heck of a shot that he took. But I'm kind of riding with a hot hand right now. I think Ohio State is going
to
pull it off.
You're picking Ohio State to win this game?
I think Ohio State's going to pull it off. And I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Wow.
I think it's going to be.
Somebody out there.
They're happy with me. I think it's going to be something crazy like 45 to 37. I think it's going to be.
I definitely think it's going to be high scoring. Whoever wins. I mean, that's the way.
Isn't it funny how when a Big 12 game is 45-37, how there's something wrong, but when it happens anywhere else, it's the greatest thing anyone's ever seen? Crazy how that works.
COVID concerns in Buckeye Land?
Yeah,
does that worry you at all?
Sure. Absolutely. But, you know, here's the thing. Is I just think there is this incredible undersell of the talent that Ohio State has right now. I don't think people realize just how loaded they are. And they've only played seven games. So they're fresh. They haven't gone through the rigors of what Alabama has had to go through, or even for that matter, Clemson, which I'm very surprised that Dabo Swinney didn't go with that excuse this week, which would have been brilliant. Hey, they were the fresher team. But he took his loss like a champion. You know, that's what you do. That's what you're supposed to do as a coach. And, you know, it's just I don't think we get just how talented Ohio State is. And I think they're going to pull it off on Monday night.
There's a lot of talent on both sides.
That's true.
Mac Jones, Najee Harris, Jalen Waddle might play
Heisman
in this
Trophy
game.
Winner, Devontae Smith.
Oh, yeah, by the way, the Heisman Trophy winner's on that team. Trey
the
Sermon.
Remington Award winner is on that team, but he's hurt, so he's out.
I don't know. I would lean a little bit Alabama, but just a little bit. And this is going to be a weird thing to say. But I'd worry about – I don't worry at all. I don't care if they win or not. I think there's a chance that maybe the SEC West was so much weaker than it normally is this year that Alabama – the domination we saw was a little fool's gold a little bit.
Maybe
I think
so.
They're great. I think – don't get me wrong. I think they're great. But I don't think they've seen – the talent level they're going to face against Ohio State, and I'm eager to see them on the field together. Notre Dame isn't Ohio State.
No.
And I don't know if Ohio State can play the same way as they did. So I slightly lean Alabama.
I know we got a promotion you're going to do here real quick, but I will say I don't think the Notre Dame game is a good indicator of the kind of talent that Alabama's going to face on Monday night. I like Notre Dame. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, they should never be in a championship setting again, but Ohio State is on a different – oh, I'm not going to use different level. Ohio State is in a different place with its talent than what I think Notre Dame is right now.
Got some breaking news that just happened within this segment. Ramondre Stevenson has declared that he is headed to the NFL draft. OU's star running back made it official. I think we anticipated this would likely be the case, but Ramondre is headed to the NFL.
I wish we could have had a full season with Ramondre. He became so fun to talk to after games, Toby. Hard worker, fun guy, got really comfortable. His video that he put out the other night on Twitter, we all tried to read into it. It's like, wait, the shirt said I'm back, but he was waving goodbye, and then right. There was a little genie thing
on
the tweet.
What did the genie mean? Yeah.
But I'm sad in a very selfish, greedy sense in that I want to see Ramondre and the Crimson and Cream for another season. But I'm really happy for him. You know, heading into the season,
sure.
A guy I follow a lot, NFL draft scout Matt Miller, said he was one of his top running backs. And now I think he'll have a chance to go to the Senior Bowl still since he has graduated, like Adrian Ealy did and Creed Humphrey's going to, and Trey Brown, and Trey Norwood, for that matter, to showcase what he's got.
Yeah, it's a loss for OU, but happy for Ramondre. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk comings and goings in later weeks, but Kennedy Brooks coming back is big news. I think you got to love what you saw out of Marcus Major and Seth McGowan. In the bowl game. So they're going to be in good shape at the running back position, but that's just hot off the press, folks. Just moments ago, I guess he tweeted it out that he's headed to the NFL draft.
Good luck, Ramondre.
Yeah, good luck. But meanwhile, coming up later tonight, obviously we got Lon Kruger and Sherry Cole coming up next. But at 11:30 tonight, we're going to have our final airing of the 2000 flashback game. I hope you've enjoyed the flashback series all year long. We've been looking back at some classic OU games from the past. Chris, you've been a part of these with Teddy and with Gabe. But for the national championship game of 2000, we had a special edition. Bob Stoops joined us. Ronaldo Works. Roy Williams joined us. And we all watched
Teddy
the game together. Teddy Lehman was there. We all watched the game back together. Bob hadn't seen it in years. And it's a hoot to watch relaxed Bob Stoops look back at the national championship game and some of the memories that come flooding back, I really think you're going to enjoy it. That's coming up at 11:30 tonight.
And I'll add, too, our Legacy Series has its latest edition that's going to drop first thing Friday morning. Looking back at that Orange Bowl, the coin toss, hear Torrance Marshall's story behind it, and some legendary calls from Bob Berry Sr. and Merv Johnson. Don't miss it.
I tell you, you want to get in a good mood real fast, just turn on Bob Berry and Merv Johnson. The memories just come flooding
back. It's amazing.
The Legacy Series and the podcast is very cool stuff. Check it out. If you miss any portion of tonight's show, you can always catch it on demand via our Sooner Sports podcast. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Now, we'll have our regular schedule kick off tomorrow. Toby will dive in, and we'll look back on the news from the weekend. Ramondre Stevenson and Ronnie Perkins declaring for the NFL draft. What does that mean for the Sooners going forward? And there's going to be some big news in the Sooner Nation that I can't wait to talk about with Toby on the podcast tomorrow. Until then, have a great start to your week, and Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Riverwind, home to a luxury hotel, fine dining, and never-ending rewards. Riverwind is still the one. And Allstate, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review however you listen. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Sooner Sports Network.